Thank you, Richard. Don't you love verse 10? Be still and know that I'm God. Just has to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Man, we've got a good turnout. I think last week we had 125, not bad after the COVID thing, and we may be even more today, I'm not sure, but I pray that every one of you is blessed and benefits from everything we do today as a family of God. Let's see here. So, they're not breathing. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you think you know what they're doing. These are sperm whales, huge, many, many, many tons. They're not breathing. They're not doing ballet. They're not swimming. I won't call on you, but raise your hand if you think you know what they're doing, or if you know what they're doing. Okay. So they're sleeping. These are sperm whales, and they're sleeping. This is really new. Scientists only discovered this just recently, that whales, I don't know if they all sleep this way, but sperm whales do, humpbacks do, and they kind of in a vertical position. Some scientists say they only use half their brain, or they use half their brain when they do this. Other scientists, no, I think they're completely asleep. But an amazing thing that these sperm whales are doing, that diver looks almost as big as the whales. That's only because he's a lot closer to the camera than the whales are. He's a fraction of what they are. They are a huge animal, and they are sleeping. Now, this right here, this is our cat, and he happened to be snoozing on Lisa's chair, really, really close to her head right here. And although it's kind of cute, in both these cases, these animals that you saw, the whales and the cat right here, they're doing exactly what God planned for them to do. They're resting. In this case, they're sleeping. And we're going to look at rest today. Rest and sleep, they overlap, but they're not always the same. But rest is designed by God, necessary for all the organisms that I know of, even the heart, you know, that pumps your entire life until your last day. It rests. Did you know that? Between the pulses, your heart rests. And so it's essential for life. And we looked at those too. So we're going to look at the best rest. There are four types of rest, as we'll talk about in just a minute. Four types of rest. But we're going to look at all four. But one type of rest is the best rest, at least while we're here on earth. So this word rest, in both the Old and the New Testament, pretty much the same definition. It doesn't mean to just lie down and take a nap. It can mean to stop, to cease, to desist, to stop working, to rest, to gain relief from toil. The boss may say, man, you guys are killing it today, but it's so hot out, we need to rest. We're going to take a half an hour in the shade. That would be relief from toil. And you understand these things right here. So there are four types of rest in the scriptures. The first one we're all really well aware of, and that's physical rest. And we're going to see this concept used in the Bible, all four concepts. And by the way, I said there's four types of rest. There may be more. God doesn't say there are four types of rest. It just said, as I read the scriptures, I found four types. If you can think of another, I'd love to know it. So in Exodus 23:12, God through Moses says, 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor. Same exact word as rest. The Jewish word, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's sabbat or shabbath or something like that. But you shall cease or rest from labor so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. That's one of the things, as you know, because most of you sleep every night. Maybe not Matthew on a Saturday night, but we rest, and it refreshes us. And God talks about that as being one of the purposes of the Sabbath. We're not under the Sabbath today, so don't get too nervous if you think I'm trying to teach old law here, but I am showing the purpose of rest and why God said he gave it as a gift to his people. The benefits of sleep. I'm morphing to sleep now, similar to rest, but they're innumerable. It refreshes your body. It keeps your adrenal glands working well and healthy, and it keeps your immune system stronger. Should you not get enough rest, then those things won't function as they should. In Mark, we have an example of Jesus showing the importance of rest. He says in Mark 6:31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves. He's talking to his disciples. Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they needed rest, probably physical and probably mental at the same time. But the results of insufficient rest and sleep, there are several. There are more injuries at work, and there are more accidents at work when workers don't get proper rest, either the night before or even at the job if it's too grueling. And seriously, you don't want a sleep-deprived doctor performing an operation on you. Now, back when I was in pre-med and the science classes, interns, medical interns, those that got their doctorate degree, but they're newbies, they're brand new, they don't have much practical experience, they would work at a hospital 120 hours a week. Sleep deprived, sometimes they go 36 hours, and they're working on your heart, and they're diagnosing problems. And you know, back in the, I think it was the late 70s, interns in America struck. They said, no, we're going on strike because this is not safe for the patients, and our bodies are weakened, and you're exposing us to all kinds of sicknesses and disease. This is unsafe for everybody involved, and we're striking until you lower our hours to 80 hours a week. That was a big deal. A guy can work 80 hours a week and be okay, or most of us can, but I'm just telling you that sleep is so critical. So a couple of reasons right there. When daylight savings comes in the spring, and when it ends in the fall, did you know? You can Google it. There's article after article. There are far more traffic accidents on the Monday following the Sunday that it begins. Far more traffic accidents, because even if someone goes to bed a little early, which is hard to do, it's changing the sleep pattern. Even if they get the same amount of sleep, the body needs consistency, and just check it out. Fall and spring, every time daylight saving time converts to the other one, more traffic accidents. At work, one of the reasons that there's a law, I forget now if it's state or federal, is that that every worker that works an 8-hour shift has a mandatory lunch, law, and two breaks. And people think it's 15, but the law is 10. Two 10-minute breaks and one lunch, because of injury and because of rampant mistakes. And so rest is critical. And remember Eutychus in Acts 29? So Paul is preaching. He's preaching until midnight. Eutychus, a young man sitting up in a windowsill, three stories up. He goes into a deep sleep, falls, and dies. Sleep's really important, as you know. Paul revived him. He says his life is still in him, and he revived him. But the scriptures also tell us that he was dead. Some people have to learn this principle through the school of hard knocks. I know a guy. God blessed me with a lot of energy, a lot of stamina, and so in college, I don't know if there was ever a week where I didn't go one night, you know, pulling an all-nighter, sometimes two, but that just kind of carried on, and through my construction years, you know, go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning, but had to be at work at 7 o'clock, except on Wednesdays when we had breakfast together, had to be there at 6 o'clock, and all was good, I thought, and I, as much as sleep feels wonderful to most of us. I did love sleeping once I got to sleep, but I hated going to bed Life's too full, too good, too much to do. So I learned the hard way. So about 2.5 years ago, just after Lisa and I started visiting this congregation, I'm doing my exercise. I'm climbing the stairs, and I get to I just do my first climb to the top of the stairs, and I go, uh-oh, something's not right. I barely made it to the top of these stairs. I used to do 20. That was the first one. I barely made it. I said, Now, I've never had mononucleosis. I didn't know if that's what it was. None of my family had it. But I just said, isn't that where you feel really fatigued? And I wonder if I have mononucleosis. So I went to Dr. Tam there in Auburn, and she did a blood test. You've got mononucleosis. And your adrenals are shot. They're toast. Hope we can get them working again a little bit. So from personal experience, I'm sharing with you that if you're that way, like I was, you may be able to function, but sleep and rest really critical to human health and mental well-being as well. In fact, we're going to talk about another kind of rest, and that's mental rest. And you know what that is, because we all have tough days where there's lots of stress, and there's overload, and we wish it would slow down a little bit. The phone keeps ringing, and or whatever it is. But mental rest. Sleep gives us a break from everything going on in your life, and although sleep is a physical rest, it's also a mental rest. When we're sleeping, we get that mental break where the mind kind of goes into the dream mode off and on, and refreshes and recuperates and this kind of thing. And many of you are probably familiar with the dream cycle or the rapid eye movement cycle, but we know now that when a person dreams, the average person dreams 5 times a night. Lots of cool stuff about it, but we'll say just that. And each dream gets shorter. The first one's 45 minutes normally, and then they get a little shorter down to 20 minutes. And finally, after the fifth dream, if you're getting enough sleep, that's normally when people wake up. But they figured out a way to stop people from dreaming while they're sleeping. And so they would do tests on people, and they would have them sleep. I don't know if it was in the laboratory or home, whatever, but they would, you know, when they watch the rapid eye movement and they have monitors on the head, they could tell, oh, he's starting to dream, she's starting to dream. They would do a little electrical thing, and the person would stop dreaming. And they could stop a person from dreaming at all, go a whole night without the 5 dreams. And within 2 to 3 days, they were paranoid, hallucinating, and acting just like someone on LSD. Dreams are critical to mental rest and recuperation by God's design. Sleep and rest are His plan, and He wants us to get a break from the hubbub of life. And He wants us to recuperate, and the body does a lot of repair at that time, but sleep is huge for mental rest. The Sabbath gave God's people a mental rest as well as the physical rest. We read that the ox and the donkey and the son of the female slave would be refreshed on the seventh day, that everybody in Israel would rest, and they would be refreshed. Well, the Sabbath did both. It gave the physical rest and the mental rest. For instance, on the Sabbath, they weren't allowed to kindle the fire. So the wife, she got a mental break. She didn't have to worry about what she's going to cook for dinner, for instance. She didn't have to worry about carrying water from the well. And water, as you know, is very heavy if you've carried any. And the husband, he didn't have to worry about chopping the wood for the fire or plowing the field on the Sabbath. They would have stayed at home and humble themselves. We'll get to that verse in a little while. Bond as a family, think and pray to God, and rest mentally and physically and spiritually. So you may have asked yourself the question, okay, 6 days God created all the universe. On the seventh day He rested. Have you ever asked yourself? And I'll show you the scripture, but if you ask you, in Genesis 1:31, Genesis 1:25, we read about Him just 131, actually, where it says I'm wrong. Genesis 2, around verse 3, after God saw that it was all good, he rested. But why? Was he tired? Did God get exhausted? Genesis 2, 3, then God blessed the seventh day, because he's finished his work. Blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy, made it separate, made it different than the other days of the week. He sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Is he tired? Is that why he rested? Exodus 31, 17. It is a sign, God is speaking, between me and the sons of Israel forever, the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from his labor and was refreshed. Now, take a look at the underlined words. In it he rested, and the seventh day he ceased. Same word, that word that I said. You can look it up, and there's three different ways people say how to spell it. All I'm going to tell you is the same word in both of these two verses. God ceased from his work. God rested. God stopped what he had been doing. Why? Mental rest. Was God physically tired after the creation? Do you not know Isaiah 40, 28? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Not mentally tired, not physically tired. No, he didn't stop because he was tired. But Genesis 1, 1 through 31 gives us some insight. There were 6 days of creation, and six times, if you know Genesis 1, six times, where he made the light, the animals, or whatever he made, it said, and God saw that it was good. He made something, that's good. And then, on the seventh day, Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good, perfect, very good. He didn't stop because he was tired. He stopped because he was finished. He was done. It was perfect, just the way he planned it. It was very good, and that's why he stopped. He did all that he needed to do to make the creation. He ceased. It wasn't rest from fatigue. It was ceasing because no more work was needed in that regard. Of course, God is working today, but in a different way. But he ceased from his creative work because it was good. So there's physical rest, mental rest. And I'm suggesting to you that when God did this, I don't know what category he'd put it under, but he was pleased with what he did. He was pleased with the result. I'm putting it under mental rest right here. The third one, spiritual rest. Leviticus 16, 31 says this. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. This is the Sabbath day. What was to be done on the Sabbath day? Nothing. No work. But the Sabbath day was a day of worship. It never tells the Jews, you've got to worship on the Sabbath. I can't find it anyway. Not one command where you have to worship on the Sabbath. But what were they supposed to do? Humble their souls. What does that mean? Humble their souls before who? Before what? They were to humble their soul before the living God and thank him for this repeating day of rest and all the goodness in their lives. Acknowledge him and pray to him and talk to the children. And remember, they were to write about God on the doorposts and on the lintel. And they were to humble themselves before God and acknowledge him, worship him. This was spiritual rest right here on the day of Sabbath. Yeah, physical. Yes, mental. But more importantly, spiritual rest. Jesus talks about spiritual rest. In Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If our souls are happy, our body can be worn out. We can be, you know, just our mind says, man, I've read enough today, or I've studied enough today, or I've done enough calculation today. I'm really tired, but I'm happy. If we have spiritual rest and refreshment, everything else is good. You can go to bed wiped out, but your soul is happy. When it's happy, we're happy. Everything is good when our soul is happy. And Jesus promised that. You come to me. Life is tough. Any Christian that doesn't say so, he's I don't think he lived a very long life yet or read the scriptures. Life is tough. Jesus acknowledges that. If you're weary, heavy laden, I'll solve the problem. I'll give you the kind of rest your soul really needs. Spiritual rest continued. In Psalm 45, 5, it should be verse 10. I did it again. But this is the one that I mentioned when I first got up here that Richard read. It goes Psalms 46, 10. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Stop. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations, praised, worshiped, acknowledged. I will be exalted in the earth. But that's still right there. It's a different word than rest, but very, very related, very close to the same thing. So he's saying this. Most of us have tough days. We get frantic. We worry. Maybe we doubt. Maybe we're just torn up inside. Maybe we're angry about something. Whatever it is, stop, he says. And know that I'm God. He will take care of business. We stop and worship Him, know that He's God. We put things in perspective. And we say, what am I so worried? This is an unfortunate situation. I don't enjoy being in it, whatever that is. But either God planned it for me or He allowed it. But He's very well aware of the struggle I'm in, and He's good. And He tells me that this will come out in a good way if I trust Him. Romans 8, 28, for we know that everything works together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So we're worked up, which the people that I know all get worked up sometime. We stop and we say, what's going on here? My heart is uneasy. I'm worked up and I'm just unhappy and I'm afraid and whatever it is. Forgive me, Father, for taking my eyes off of Jesus. I know you're there. I know you know exactly what's happening, and you have something good planned from this situation right here. Stop and know that I'm God. This is a form of rest where we cease from everything. We focus on the Lord and get it back together again. We put our eyes back on Jesus. We pray to Him and say, I've lost my perspective. Here I am worrying. When you tell me worrying isn't good for me, I'm not to worry, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We worship God. And by the way, spiritual rest, knowing that God, humbling ourselves and knowing that He is God, spiritual rest is the best rest. Why we're on earth? It's the best rest. It's way superior to physical rest, mental rest, spiritual rest. It's the one that all people want. Some people have no clue how to get it. They don't even know there is a spiritual rest. But we have the truth and the ability to let them know that. This is worship, spiritual rest, humbling ourselves before God, knowing He is God, acknowledging, exalting Him. That is worship, and worship is the best rest. Why we're here. Now, you may wonder why I'm putting a Yahoo email on there, but this came in on Friday. And it says, I know you can't read it unless you really have great eyes, but it says, Dear Mike at tiger.com, Yahoo small business password for Mike.com is set to expire tomorrow, July 30th, which was maybe this came in on Thursday, whatever, but set to expire on Friday due to our recent update. You can keep the same password with the button below to prevent your... I hate passwords. How many do you have? Has anybody ever counted how many passwords you have? Or how many accounts you have that take a password? Because I'm assuming you use sometimes the same one over again. I counted yesterday. Well, I have it in an Excel chart, so it counts for me. 140. You think I have 10 of them memorized? Don't think so, because I don't. Passwords. Are you telling me if I don't do this in time, if I would have missed this, I'd have to come up with another password, and you can't make it almost the same, or you have to be really tricky if you do. You know something else? I don't know how you feel about passwords, but what about... What's that? What about locks and keys? You like them? Ever get home and you can't find your house key, you lost it? Ever go to your car and, oh, honey! And you can't find your keys or your locks? I hate them. And yet we need them because they protect us from evil, right? We have passwords because there's bad people out there that don't know Jesus yet, that do their best to crack into your bank accounts, your Social Security accounts, business accounts. I've had a website crash before because my web designer made the password really easy. I've had them, whatever you call it, when they ruin your website, it could never get it back again. All kinds of stuff, right? Oh, by the way, did I mention that this is fraudulent? I didn't do it. I said, wait a minute. Never give out your Social Security number over the internet unless you know who you're giving it to, and it may not be Google or Microsoft, because they don't ask for that stuff. They don't ask your Social Security, your password. And I read it and it says something like, Elaine at forceskylights.com. Now, why would Google send me something that isn't from google.com? Anyway, beware. Don't give out your passwords, your Social Security number, bank account numbers to anybody, even over the internet, even if they, oh, this is my bank. It's probably not your bank. They don't ask for that stuff. So, I hate locks and keys too, but we have to have them, right? They keep out bad people. We lock our door every night now. When I was a boy, we didn't. When I was a boy, we'd even leave the home, go to church, whatever it was, and we wouldn't lock our door. Things were different back then. Hey, things changed. But I use locks and keys all the time. My grandmother, I think it was an Oldsmobile, but in the late 50s, I was just a little boy. She had a really nice, expensive car, and it didn't have a key. At least it turned it on. You sat in it. She showed me you push these buttons. No fob. Now, some of you have keyless cars. Now, I get that. She didn't have a fob. Just got in the car, pushed buttons, car. No keys, no locks. Why am I talking about this? Because when we get to heaven, we're going to have a heavenly rest. No keys, no locks, no passwords, no evil people. God is our anchor, our rock, our protector, our Savior. Nothing's going to get by Him. We not only have virus protection, we have evil protection when we're in heaven. It won't be there. It's going to be awesome. Even though I don't call it the best rest, it is, but we can't enjoy that while we're on earth. So we're going to call it a heavenly rest, Revelation 21:4. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then He said to me, John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. That's the heavenly rest that we're moving towards. We're living our life for. Now, you may just be living your life to please God. That's awesome. But even Abraham, looking forward to the rewards ahead of him, and this is one of them. Just a life that's special, incredible. And another question I can't answer for you, but I'll just throw it out because we're talking about heaven. You ever think about, what am I going to do there? Am I going to be bored in heaven? Am I going to sing? Or look, I can't find the answer to that in the Bible, but here's what I know. There's a promise. Didn't write it out. I think it's in Ephesians 3:20, but it says, God is able to do more than we ask or think. He's able to do more than we even think. So no matter what your vision is, the best thing on earth, it's not as good as anything on heaven. He's able to do way more than our minds can even imagine. We'll have a heavenly rest that'll be special. Boring's not special. It won't be boring up there. That's for sure, because our God is great. And it says no tears, no crying, no anything. It will be an awesome experience and place to be. We'll close with this Psalm 62, verse 5. This is from the NIV. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Thank you so much. In just a moment, we'll have the song of invitation. I'll pull it up now. But we want to offer one. We got a taker already. All right, cool. Well, thank you. I do need help. Hi, how you doing? Oh, is that Zoe? I couldn't. Oh, hi, Zoe. All right. Well, do what she did. If you have a spiritual need, God wants to answer. He's ready. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you want to become a Christian or you just have a heavy burden, you need prayer, whatever it is, now's a great time to let the congregation know. We'd love to pray for you, teach you, counsel, whatever we can do to help you get that rest that Jesus promised. So this time, let's stand and sing the song of invitation.